just like the preaching last Sunday morning, that we will not waste the word of the Lord that we hear every time we come to church by just, you know, getting it here, letting it pass through here, but let's put it into action. Psalm chapter 5, we've already talked about verses 1 to 3 last Wednesday, and so we are going to be in verses 4 to 7. Verse number 4, for thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. The title of our message tonight is In the Multitude of Thy Mercy, from verse number 7. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for tonight, Lord. Thank you for everyone that's here, willing to listen to your word and receive it with gladness, and willing to put it into action, Father. We pray that you will be with us, Holy Spirit, guide us, and we pray for our pastor at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, so just a quick review. Last week, we talked about how David was struggling. And that word, meditation, in verse number one, literally means a murmur, a complaint. Not against God, but against the situation where they are, where he is. And we talked about Hannah, we talked about Job. Verse number two, it's the same as, almost the same as verse number one. David is basically crying, asking for help. And he called God my king. He addressed God as my king and my God. He talked about that. For unto thee will I pray. That means he chose God over distractions. Verse number three, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. And so God is waiting for us every morning. And it does make a difference, a big, big difference. Now, so we will be discussing now 4 to 7. We'll focus first on verses 4, 5, and 6. And that's where we'll get our first and our second point. Actually, our first point, just one point. Our first point is God is holy. And we'll break this down into two parts from David's perspective. The first perspective is dependence. Looking at chapter 3 and chapter 4 of Psalm, let's look at chapter 3. We can get an idea that David at this point was already king. The statement in chapter 3, verse number 1, it says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. It gives us a clue that at this point, probably, he was struggling because of the rebellion of his son, Absalom. If so, during this time, David was already a great man. He was already famous. He was a man of war. His confidence is already high up. He had an army at his disposal, but yet in these verses, from one, of, actually the whole prayer of Psalm chapter 5, you see that he almost sounds like he's a child that's running to his father because somebody's bullying him in the playpen. He obviously is very afraid. He's anxious, just like he's troubled, just like Hannah and Job was. Now, point number one is God is holy. Under it is dependence. And under it is He knew who God was, and his words, these words, 4, 5, and 6, were assurances that the person that he was running to is a holy God, a righteous God, a God who hates iniquity, a God who will destroy the false bearers, leasing, who hates the bloody and the deceitful men. Number two, these are characteristics that he knew, that David knew by experience. Probably because he was like that before. He was a bloody man. He was a deceitful man. Once he was a worker of iniquity, and he spoke leasing. So he spoke from experience. He knew that God hates these qualities because he went through it. So it's like a child going to his dad saying, I know that you don't like this. I know that in the past I did this and you didn't like it. So in this time, he was desperate. He knew that this is a characteristic of God, that he is holy. This is a sign of humility, that he knew that he's not perfect. But although he had this title, he was famous, and yet his confidence was in God, not on himself. Remember that no matter how big time we are, we think we are, how matured we are in the faith, how matured we think we are in the faith, that in James chapter 4, verse number 6, let's go there. James chapter 4, verse number 6, says that he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but give it grace to the humble. Christians, there is no place for pride in our lives. I am just thankful that this is a church where we are constantly reminded that, you know, we strive and we try our best. We serve the Lord, but we're not there yet. We're very, very far from it. Luke 17, verse 10. So likewise, ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Break even. No matter how much we've done for the Lord, no matter how much how tired we are serving the Lord, break even. Unprofitable. Because that's our duty. So let's serve God with humility. Right? Let's come to Him, knowing that we are just sinners and we were just saved by grace. The second perspective is standards. First one is dependence. Second is standards. Not only did David come to God for refuge during this time, but he also cited all these evil things, 4, 5, and 6, because he wanted to point out that God hates them and God has high standards for Christians. And he has his will, and we should follow his will. And our God is holy, and we know that we are commanded directly in both the Old Testament and the New Testament to be holy. Leviticus 27, you don't have to go there. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Old Testament. New Testament. 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. In all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God has standards. And as we spend more time with God, we become more and more aware of his holiness and our sinfulness and our tendencies, our wicked tendencies. God's word, according to Psalm 119:105, you know this, it lights up our way, our path. And that path will always lead to more Christ-likeness. Always. So, in conjunction to the preaching last Wednesday, which they are connected, let's spend more time with the Lord. In His Word, especially in the morning. Psalm 119:105 is talking about, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We'll discuss that next Wednesday as we finish off the chapter. But remember, at these three verses, 4, 5, and 6, they follow a statement from verse number 3, which is really the central action point of these series of sermons, which is spend time with God in the morning. And whether and pour your heart out to the Lord, whether it be, you know, praise or whether it be confessions or you have past regrets. That's the point of the whole chapter. Spend more time with the Lord. Do it first thing in the morning. Make him your priority. Recognizing God's purity and righteousness in the morning is vital because it helps us to set our standard for the day. When we spend the first moments of the day with him, his presence will remind us the rest of our lives to live it, the rest of our day to live it in integrity and righteousness. We will fail though, but integrity doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you know the standards and you follow the standards. Even though you fail, you still try to follow the standard. Now, number two, point number one is God is holy. Point number two is from verse number seven, and we're done, almost done. Savor God's mercy, verse number seven. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. These statements of God's holiness and the humility of recognizing our own sinfulness both lead us to one thing, and that one thing is to yearn more of God's fellowship. Whether it be at church, especially, you know, coming to church, for listening to the preaching of God's word, or having sweet fellowship with our fellow believers, with all your sweet smiles, we begin to long more for God's presence in our lives. And that includes your devotion, your personal devotion, especially that one. And the reason for that is, in verse number 7, that word right there, which we are so, so fortunate for, very blessed for, and that word is that word mercy. Imagine if God didn't have this. Where would we be right now? We take it for granted, but whenever we make a mistake, that's the one thing that we hope, you know, we latch on to. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 18 to 23. Let's go there. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 18 to 23. It's a similar passage to Psalm chapter 5. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 18 to 23. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering my affliction, my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. And that is beautiful. I am nothing. That's why I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. All the more reason to meet the Lord in the morning. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Friends, no matter how heavy that load is that you're carrying, God's mercy and God's grace is greater, way greater. That's why it's called amazing. There's mercy and grace in his presence. You do not have to do it alone. As his children, let us also show mercy. Let us not be quick to judge. If the church is supposed to be a hospital for the broken-hearted people, for the broken people, then we are the nurses. God is the doctor. And we have to act that way. Always caring. Always ready to lend a hand. Bearing each other's burdens. When people come to God like David did, the Holy Spirit prompts them to come to the house of the Lord. It says their temple. We don't have that anymore. We have the church, though. The Holy Spirit might prompt them to come to church and there to find His mercy. And if we do not show mercy, instead, we come with judgmental eyes and attitudes, then we are not reflecting who God is. So let's be merciful as well. That's our opportunity to show them the mercy by which we are also healed. Lastly, reverence. Change comes when we approach God with eagerness and reverence, amongst all others that we talked about. And what does the fear of the Lord produce? You already know. There's a lot in the Bible. One Google search, bang, put KJV in the at the end, just to make sure. Blessings. Psalm chapter 112, verse 1. Knowledge. You don't have to go. I'm just going to give you some examples. Knowledge and wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. Acts 9:31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Growth. Sanctification. Psalm 19:9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So, to conclude, let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let's come to the Lord in the morning. I still have one more week, Wednesday, to keep insisting that let's go to the Lord in the morning and bring our meditations. Let's depend on His holiness and set it as the standard for our day, every single day. Let's find mercy and then show mercy. And in fear and reverence, let us worship our Lord. In fear and reverence. And then the blessings, which we're not really after, they will come. And that's on the last verses of the chapter. So, thank you for listening. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the life of David. We might not really understand what he was feeling at that time that he wrote Psalm chapter 5, but you've put us into trials. You've given us challenges, and to some of us, we might be undergoing those right now. Father, give us grace, and if we've made mistakes, so that your wrath of judgment is upon us, please have mercy, Father. Delay or refrain your anger, Lord God. We pray for those that are suffering, that you will let them realize that you are there beside them, and they are not alone. We are not alone. So, Father, please help us and guide us. And tomorrow as we wake up, help us to decide, spend the first minutes, first hour of the day with you. And help us to plan for it, Father. We pray that our relationship with you will go deeper and deeper and deeper every single day as we prioritize you. Father, thank you that you're holy. Help us to be holy as well. And in our mistakes, in our sins, we pray, Lord, that you just extend your grace, Father. And you extend your mercy and help us to learn our lessons so that we become a blessing to others as well and extend the mercy that you've shown us. We ask all these things. We pray for our pastor. In Jesus' name, amen. Call it now.